On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
What's going on, everybody? It's the Tall Can Sports Podcast. Rob's over there.
Yes, he is. True. In-house.
How's it going, man?
I'm loving it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
It's leg day today, baby. Everybody loves leg day.
Pec day.
Nope.
Nope.
Well, okay, there is a separate.
Yeah.
That's Monday.
For sure.
4 days devoted to non-lower body. Only 1 day devoted to lower body. I'm no longer a competitive athlete, so fuck it.
Fuck it. What's it been? Almost 2 weeks. A little over 2 weeks? A
little over 2 weeks, I believe.
Yeah, you and I were last in here on free agency day. All kinds of crazy bullshit going on.
Had the Aho offer sheet... We didn't touch on that on a previous show.
I had to come back in. I remember texting you literally after we stopped recording and going, fuck. So I came back in here. I touched on it a little. Touch it a little.
Come on. Touch it.
And, you know, obviously it was matched and whatever. But all hell broke loose. Nazem Kadri was traded.
See you, Naz.
Peace out. Just a little bit more recently, little piece of news I wanted to hit you with, in case you hadn't heard, although I find it unlikely you haven't. Senators all-time great, Brendan Bochensky, retires from the sport of hockey. He has 68 points in 150-some-odd NHL games within six teams. Would you like to take a stab at Brendan Bochensky's six NHL teams?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Ottawa Senators. I'm going to go with
one.
Chicago Blackhawks.
Yep.
Atlanta Thrashers.
No.
Minnesota Wild.
No. We're just waving at it.
No. Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. But you notice I banged those first two out of nobody's business.
For sure. He must have gone directly from Ottawa to Chicago.
Tampa.
Tampa's correct.
Okay, man, it's 3 out of 5. We're good. That's all I got.
Ottawa, Chicago, Boston, Anaheim, Nashville, Tampa.
Wow.
I don't remember him on any of those last three. I remember obviously I remember Ottawa. I remember Chicago and Boston. I don't remember Tampa, Anaheim.
Well, in Ottawa, he was gonna be the next big thing.
Was he drafted or was he one of those NCAA signees?
I can't remember.
But he was a big deal when he was coming to
Ottawa. One training camp, one exhibition season, he had 10 goals.
Ooh.
Right? And they're like, this guy is going this guy's gonna kill it. Yeah, no.
So he goes after his six NHL teams to
Bundesliga.
The KHL.
Okay.
To play for Bariz Astana. Based in Kazakhstan.
Hakuna Matata.
finishes his career as the seventh all-time leading scorer in the KHL history.
Likely made himself a boatload of tax-free cash in a shopping bag.
Yeah.
Here you go, my friend.
Yeah.
Drink up, Brandon. And here's a boil for your trouble.
What's your favorite Brandon Bochenski memory? I'm only bringing this up because apparently he went on, did pretty well for himself. Had a nice little career outside the NHL.
I think the only memory I have is that 9 or 10 goals he had in exhibition, and he parlayed that into 68 points.
I should have done a little more research if I was going to spring this on you, but I didn't.
Okay.
To me, he seems more like he was one of the NCAA signings, not a draft pick.
Right.
Yeah. Like one of those big, you hear about it every March or April. You know,
how could anybody have missed this guy?
Exactly. Like the Leafs, Robbie Earl. Leaf great, Robbie Earl.
Well, okay.
The fact that you don't know that name is exactly the point.
Your Jesse Winchesters and your Stefan DaCostas and all these.
Yeah. No, of France, I believe. Stefan DaCosta.
For sure, yes.
So Brandon Bochenski, congrats on a great career, man. Seventh leading scorer in the second best league.
Okay, and I didn't hear that.
Retired this year.
Okay.
And I bet he did all right for himself over there, man.
Well, as I said to you, I think when you're that, if you've done well enough.
Yeah.
Man, sorry about that. If you've done that well to finish seventh all time.
Yep.
Yeah, you're likely getting a fat little.
I'd never heard of Barisa Tana.
Barisa.
Marisa Matana. It's a wonderful phrase.
Yeah. Anyways,
something like that.
I can't think of it.
You but should. It's great.
No. I can't hear what you're saying without me going sideways into that.
Yeah.
It's no Akbar's Kazan.
No.
We know
and
that.
See, exactly. Like I know Akbar's Kazan.
But it's a fucked up name.
Yeah.
That's not one of those.
But I've heard it. Like to me, that sounds.
Do you
slow
know
back,
how many teams
Russian.
Are in?
Well, there's one in China now. And like,
well, yeah, and,
like
and obviously they're in, they're in Belarus, they're in
Finland.
Yeah, exactly. They're everywhere now. So it's,
kudos to you, Brandon Bochenski. What have you been doing, man? It's been a couple of weeks since we've been in. How's the summer been treating you so far?
Since it turned to July.
Yeah. How's the pool?
Heavy swass, my friend. Okay. Heavy swass.
Right in the pool.
The pool's been awesome.
Yeah.
The pool's been awesome. Now, as a guy who, it's just an above ground, but as somebody who had an above ground before,
yeah.
The problem with an above ground, and so the one I had before was 26 feet.
I've been in that one, man.
Round.
It's a good pool.
It was a big above ground pool. Yeah. This is an oval, so it's 14 by 23.
Okay.
So it's quite a bit smaller. And the beauty of it is, you get kids in there splashing around. You're always putting a little more water in. Despite how hot it's been for the last 2 weeks, it hasn't cracked.
Not
72 degrees.
Oh, okay.
So the problem with an above ground is this one's half shaded by trees too. It stays cold all the time, right? No 85 degrees.
It's not a bath.
Man, this is.
You got like acorns and shit dropping in it?
For sure, yep. Yeah. It's a constant cleaning.
Sure.
But it's an ionized pool too.
Ooh.
Yeah, no chlorine, you're not trying to balance the chlorine, no salt. This just runs on, it's the copper plates,
yep.
Keeps it up high. You just keep one little puck, like almost that bromine thing you see floating.
Yeah,
one puck in there. And honestly, I've seen, it's now the middle of July, zero algae.
Nice.
Clear all the time.
Sweet.
And it's cold. So really, man, it's like living the dream.
It sounds like.
Honestly, it was 100 degrees yesterday.
Yeah.
I walked home, whoosh, jumped right in, and honestly, it brings
the guys coming through the front door, peeling clothes off.
Yeah, exactly.
Out the back door.
That's a regular day. It drops the core temperature down right away because again, it's 72 degrees.
Yeah,
in the middle of July. Woo-hoo! Get out of here, man. Get out of here. So, as with any above ground, it could be a little deeper.
Yeah,
but it's not like I'm in there doing swan dives. It's great for the kids.
Yeah,
and. Man, it drops the core temperature. I love it. Love it. New deck that goes around it, too.
I was wondering if that was done.
That's done.
I wasn't sure whether to bring it up or not.
No, deck's all done.
Okay.
Deck's all done. Yeah. It's looking sharp, the whole thing, right? But you know, between bylaw and everything else, you're just like, man, what a pain in the ass. But, and then before you know it, right, you'd be selling the house and moving out and you'd be like, why did I ever do that?
Right.
But what about you, man? What have you been up to?
You know, as people who've been listening for a while know, I was out of the country for a bit. We're back in now. Things up and running. You know, it's, I spent my summer vacation in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where all the cool kids.
As you do.
Yeah, lots of people vacationing there. So that was cool. You want to hear a little more about that, you can go back and check out the last Talk in Sports with Matty Lang. We also talked about Kawhi's departure. And I wanted to allow you, if you wanted to tee off here. As you had said a year ago, there was zero chance he was staying. As things closed out there, and I don't want to get too deep into this.
Yep.
Did you still feel like it was 0% when this was all coming down at the end?
Yeah, I'm not sure I felt like it was zero. There was a lot of talk, and I was sort of buying some of it where they thought, okay, coming off a championship, go with one and maybe a player option, right? They're talking about getting you to that 10-year, to the Supermax, all that.
It sort of looked like, too, that he was willing to throw it up in the air and say, whoever goes and gets Paul George, Clippers or Raptors, I'm there, right? Like, at the very last minute. And
well, and as it turns out, he very clearly...
He wanted to go home.
He wanted to go home.
Yep.
And so, what? And that's his right.
Yep.
The Clippers, as insane as it is, always seem to make the most sense because, you know, he doesn't want to go there and be the third option behind LeBron and Anthony Davis with the Lakers. He gets to go to the Clippers, and if he could win with the Clippers.
Oh, man.
You're a legend.
The Clippers.
Okay, but you've won now and been an MVP for two different teams and two different conferences. And if you can go
both times busted up dynasties.
And,
right?
Yeah. And beat the Clippers. You're like, and win with the Clippers. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're a legend.
Yeah. I love Kawhi as a mercenary. Like this year I'm going to Milwaukee and next year I'm off to Philly and the year after, like I'm just going to bust up winless teams and I kind of dig that. But.
And so the flip side to that is, and that's all I have to say about Kawhi, right? That's his deal.
Yeah.
Again, he's left money on the table, right? He did in San Antonio.
Yep.
He did in Toronto and he's left cash on the table saying, this is what I want to do. So that's admirable.
Yep.
He made no promises.
Nope.
And he kept quiet. There was no boasts. There was nothing. He just fucking.
This is honestly, what I'm going to do. Yeah.
He just fucking played the game and then left.
Yeah.
And on the flip side of that, I think the Raptors did themselves a huge favor in terms of the way they handled themselves. They didn't sweat him.
Nope.
To me, they said, here, man, we're going to give you.
The chopper following him from Pearson downtown on whatever the day
was. That's CP24 or whatever that is.
I've just crossed the border, and I've barely got cell service because I'm trying to, like, hang on to the bell tower for as long as I can before I go into, like, there's, like, men in hoods getting in the van after the MLSC jet.
Exactly.
I'm like.
And you didn't want to say black men, right?
No, I know.
It was, there's men, and they all look kind of the
same. One looks 7 feet tall.
And they're like, and they're wearing hoodies and gym. Anyways,
and awkward. So if you know Kawhi at all, that's not him. And there's a lot of people saying, well, that turned him off. That's why I don't think that because if that's what he was against, he's not going to L.A. Like he'll end up in Indiana or something,
right? And so to me, they didn't pressure him.
I agree, man.
They said, here's what our offer is. You know what we can bring in terms of the training staff, how we treated you, how we will treat you, and they didn't pressure him, at least not publicly,
right?
I think the Raptors handled themselves as well as you possibly.
When you got
could.
A title out of it, right?
Yep.
So
for sure,
you know what that you know you did yourself. As you said, man, you handled it as well as you possibly could. And at the end of the day, the guy wanted to go home. And, you know, a year ago, we were pretty pumped when John Tavares wanted to go home. And is it that different? Not really, right?
Yeah, somebody else said that. I can't remember who that was I heard, but.
There's been a few.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, no, but it was somebody on Ottawa radio.
Right.
Matt Devlin, I think, was on Ottawa radio.
Right.
And that's what
Love
he said.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, you know what? Everyone loved it when Tavares said, I want to go home.
Yep.
But. Now people are like, "Oh, come on, man! You gotta stay. You gotta stay with."
Really? Yeah, no, it's weird when you're on the other side of
it. Yeah,
I wanted to ask you because you're a little more in touch with this sort of thing. On Sunday, we saw maybe one of the greatest, if not the greatest, finish to the Wimbledon you know, tennis. Men's final.
Yep.
You're far more qualified, I guess, to talk about this than I am.
Yeah. The qualifications are based on what? My extensive tennis career?
Yeah.
I loved to play tennis when I was younger. I did. No, seriously.
Yeah. I believe you.
Lived in a couple of places.
We played ball hockey on the tennis court. Okay. We had to get net out of the way.
See, well, this is it. So what we used to do was as soon as the leaves started to drop, then they'd pull the net up.
Yeah.
We played football.
Okay. Yeah, nice. Cement fucking tackle football.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome,
well,
man.
I came with the ball. You never lost it.
Nope,
you're right.
Nope,
you know?
That's right.
Honestly, a couple of times I ran right in the fence trying to make a sweet catch, right? Glasses all bent.
So do you want to tee this up better than I could in terms of what went down between Federer and Djokovic? In terms
Djokovic.
Of just how unprecedented this was on last Sunday's final.
Well, see, and it went the full five, right? And this is the first year that they've instituted the tiebreaker. It used to be you would go, the fifth set would go until you had a two-game winner.
Right.
So if it was 22-20, whatever that was, right?
Yep,
this
yep.
was, now they've had a couple of games in the past couple of years that have gone into the 40s and it really wrecks the quality of that of those players next game. So this is the first time they instituted at 12. If you were at 12-12 in the fifth set, they would go to a tiebreaker at that point.
Right.
And these two guys, yeah, like Federer.
Well, and how many times did Djokovic pull it out of the fire, right?
Like, well, yeah. See, the thing is, the two sets that Federer won, because it was obviously 2-2 going into the
right,
the fifth.
Right.
You know, Federer won, I think, 6-4, 6-1 in
right.
the two he won.
Yeah.
But Djokovic won his two 7-6, right? So
yeah,
they were into the tiebreakers, right?
Right.
And if you look at, they went to 7-7 and Federer broke Djokovic
right.
to go up 7-6 to serve out Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, and so and that point, Djokovic was down 40-15, right?
Yeah.
Two match points,
yeah.
Federer on the serve. I don't think Federer had lost a serve all game, and Djokovic broke back.
Right.
Honestly, if you're going to get one break in a five-hour-long tennis match,
like, fuck.
I'll take it right in that spot to make it 8-8. And really, that was... That was Fed's chance.
Like,
right?
Even for those of us who know very little about tennis, which I have no problem including myself in as I threw this on Sunday morning, you're going, he's been running around for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to know anything else but that. Like,
well, and if you if you watch it, and they flashed up a stat because I watched it live.
Yeah.
As
did a lot of people. I'm going to throw this out there before you continue. TSN puts out a thing, and it may not sound like much, that 2.8 million people watched that final, which was double the amount who watched it a year earlier. And 2.8 million in a country of only 30-some-odd million, it's not nothing, man. Like, people were hooked on that.
See, and the thing is, Federer has now been involved in the top three longest ever Wimbledon
yeah.
matches.
Yeah.
He beat Andy Roddick, I think, in 2011,
right.
2012, in 4 hours and 12 minutes.
Phew.
He lost to Nadal in what, up until that point, people point to as maybe one of the greatest tennis matches ever.
Yeah.
That was 4:45. And then, yes, he lost this time to Djokovic in 4:58.
So he can go long, but he can't finish.
And if you look, yeah.
Like so many of us.
Yeah, well, I can't really do either. But the thing is, and as you just alluded to, the tiebreaker in the fifth at 12-12 was kind of anticlimactic. It was 7-3, I think, Djokovic.
I know you're not a Twitter guy. Twitter all morning, or whatever time it was by then, it had to be almost 11
Started
o'clock,
9, or, yeah. went till 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right. People are calling out for, oh, I have to see the 12-12, right? Like, and to me, I don't know what that means, but I'm like, all right, I'm in. Like, let's see what this is all about. And it got
right on 12-12.
Right? Yeah, like, let's see it, right? Like, we're down to the Merrick Malik shootout shot against the Rangers,
well,
right?
And that, you just need to go back, anybody who's interested, and you don't have to be a tennis fan. You watch that fifth set, and as you've said, at the fifth set alone was an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And you look at some of the rallies and the clutch shots that guys are making – 4 hours after you started. And McEnroe said it during one spot. He's like, that's an outstanding rally if it happens in the first set.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm fresh.
Let alone in the fifth set when these two of the best players ever.
Yeah.
And honestly, people use it all the time. It was like a heavyweight title fight and they were just slug. It was going back and forth. And
well, so this is why I wanted to bring it up with you, is because this brought back a bunch of talk about whether or not this is the best generation ever in men's tennis alone. And look, I know you're not a tennis czar.
Try me.
Sure. But
Rod Laver.
Certainly better than what I'm bringing to this. And part of that is what you've been exposed to, thanks to your social life lately and things like that. But this thing that's been going on for almost a decade between Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer is unparalleled in sport. Now, there would be some people who would want to tell you maybe mid to late 80s men's tennis could have sort of matched that.
You're talking Sampras and Agassi? Is that what
right.
you're talking about in the 90s?
You need that third, right? You need that thing. This is a rivalry
Peter
that just
Chang.
Keeps... What's his name? Borg?
Okay, that's 70s, though.
Okay.
Bjorn Borg.
What the fuck do I know?
Well, see, and that, if you look at, there was a couple of titanic Wimbledon matches
right.
between Borg and McEnroe.
Right. So if you go through all of this and you watch, and you want to look at all the most dominant athletes in sports over the last 10, 20 years, from time to time, there's been somebody who could match Tiger, who could match Serena, or who could
David Duval.
Who could match LeBron, right? But couldn't hang that long. They just reached up and touched them briefly.
Yep.
Here are three guys for a decade that have been going to war.
Yeah. So 20 majors for Fed, 18 for Nadal, and 16 now for Djokovic.
Right.
And really, Fed. And I wanted to see Djokovic win. To me, he rubs a lot of people the wrong way. He's Serbian. He's got that kind of cocky.
Right.
People think he's a little arrogant, right? And I liked it at the end. You know, he puts his one finger straight over his head, right, towards the sky. He's saying, hey, Fed needed that one to go to 21 and 15.
Yeah.
Right, to leave a six major slam sort of space between the two, because there's 4 years or maybe even 5 years in between Djokovic and Federer.
Right.
Fed's close to the end.
Yeah.
And still playing great.
Yo,
like,
for
honestly.
Sure.
And that dude doesn't even break a sweat.
Well, and this was the other thing I wanted to bring up.
Look at his hair. You're like, bad. Buddy, what are you doing?
Like, tennis is one of those sports that typically you can't, by 30, you're kind of on the way. These guys are all
33, 36, and 37.
Yeah. Like, it's incredible what these guys are doing at this age. And I wonder, you know, if you have a better handle than I do on, is it the class that the three of them are up against? Is that why, you know, they're able to wipe out everything behind them? Or is it just this three-headed monster that is that good?
Yeah, no, I think these are just three generational players.
Yeah.
Because, and it comes right down to, it was an interesting stat, because Nadal and Federer played in the semi.
Yeah.
And Nadal is a big clay court guy. Like, I think he's won 10 or 11 at Roland Garros, right? The French Open.
Yep.
And so he's killing it there. But his record against Federer, up until this point, they've played 40 times, is 26 and 14.
Okay.
Or 25 and 15, whatever.
Sure.
It's a big spread in Nadal's favor.
Yeah.
And they've never played. They've never met each other in the U.S. Open. So it just goes to show you, you have maybe the best clay court player ever in Nadal.
Yep.
And then you have these other two sort of absolute stud killers, right? In Djokovic and Federer all at the same time. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Right. To me, it is. It's like Sampras, Agassi, Courier, right? Which was that.
Sure.
But on steroids.
Yeah.
Right. Like, to me, it's Sampras was.
Have three of them all at once capable of saying, I'm the best in the fucking world.
I'm the best in the world. Yeah. And the conditioning is unbelievable on all of them, right? Now, I think Nadal is starting to break down.
Sure.
But we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. And really,
he's well overdue.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what happens at the U.S. Open.
Right.
Flushing Meadows, Labor Day weekend, ladies and gentlemen. check it out. And it's funny, unless you have something else on that.
I don't really.
To me, it was...
We may have exhausted my tennis.
Yeah, yeah. But there's two other points that came out of...
I knew what I was watching was impressive.
Yeah, two other things that came out of Wimbledon in a non... Obviously tennis related, but non-tennis related. And really opinion things that I'm sort of interested in what you think. And what any listener thinks, right? Anybody who listens and watches and loves sports is going to have a take on this, right? Bernard... Tomic, I believe his name is.
Right.
Guy who lost his first round match. 6-1, 6-1, 6-4. And Wimbledon said, you are being penalized, your prize money for what we deem to be lack of effort.
What prize money should there be if you got punted out that?
$47,000, I think.
Woo-hoo!
For qualifying.
I'll show up and lose.
Yeah,
and like that's Happy Gilmore. So soon enough, I lose, I'm gonna get some fucking money.
Do I get one of those big cardboard checks? Where's that at? But yeah, so $47,000, and they're saying you don't get your money. We don't think you tried hard enough. What do you feel? How do you feel about that? That somebody else gets to deem
my effort.
Yeah, effort. That's exactly right.
Maybe that guy just beat the shit out of me. What do you want?
Well, it was 6-4 in one of the games. Right. I had to do something to get that.
Yeah, that seems like some bullshit, man.
That seems like absolute bullshit.
Your rules say if I show up here and lose, I get some cash. Give me that fucking cash.
Honestly,
What motivation could there be for me to show up and not try?
Well, this is it. I got a wedding to go to. Like, I gotta go. I needed this prize money for a gift. Like,
but I'm good enough to get here.
Well, this is it.
And now
right?
I'm checking.
And
out.
I find that such a slippery slope.
Yeah,
man,
no,
to say,
for sure it is.
We don't think you tried hard enough. Yeah. When's the last time your ass has been out here on the short grass? Like, honestly, with your cat gut rackets, like get out of here. 100 years ago, I'm out here busting my ass, and you're not paying me.
Cat gut rackets.
Okay. All right. Like a snowshoe.
Yeah.
You know,
All right.
Okay. Anyways, that's all I really had to say about that. But to me, that's super bizarre, and I'd be pissed if I not only got an ass tanning, yeah. But now you're saying,
well, it's not like anybody can just show up. Like you got into it.
Hey, I got white shorts and a white t-shirt. Can I get in?
Yeah, it's fucking nurse's scrubs or something.
Ah, sorry, it's a medium shirt in my belly showing, but that's okay. It's white.
I have a feeling I'm not going 5 hours today. I've uttered that a ton.
Exactly. You're hitting me with the ball. Stop it. All right. Anyway, the next up in that was her name escapes me, Joanna Konta.
Okay.
British female tennis player who lost in the quarters, was the last Brit in the competition. And in the post-match presser, she's sort of saying, hey, you know what? She lost to an unseeded Czech, I believe. And she's saying, you know what? I think I played well today.
Right.
She played better. Right? And so.
Happens.
Man, the British press was on her saying, you know, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, you need to be more contrite. You need to apologize for your lack of effort and losing to a lower seeded player. And you need to give us our pound of flesh. And she's
how
like,
how dare you acknowledge a good performance?
Yeah. Well, and it can't be good enough for you to say you need to be
right.
You know, and she's saying, I've given you my answer.
Yep.
If you don't like it, you can write your own opinion.
Which you're gonna.
Yeah. But I'm telling you right now, I've already answered your question.
I like it.
I played well. She played better, man.
What do you want me to do?
If you saw something else, write it. But she goes, I don't appreciate you being condescending. Anyways, they had this going.
Get out of Great Britain.
Yeah, well, this is it, right? Exactly. The London tabloid press is going to crush you. But anyways, I thought she handled herself really well.
I like that, man. Sometimes you just get beat.
Well, this is it. And you look at your fat, doughy ass, and you're saying, you're asking these questions?
Yeah.
What do you know?
What did you do today?
Yeah, you did nothing.
Yeah.
Right? You ate some berries and cream. Shut your fat pie hole. That's all I got to say about that. Oh, actually, that's not all I got to say about that.
All right.
Serena, right, who has now, she lost, it was Halep beat her quite handily in the women's final.
Yeah.
This is crazy tennis heavy, I know, but
that's all right.
It's really what it comes down to
this is summer podcast.
Yeah, but to me, it's a lot of it is the final question that was asked to her, to Serena, after you know, Halep played well, blah blah blah, and you know, I think Serena, whatever she is, again 36,
yeah,
you know, within a year and a half or whatever of having a child,
yeah,
I think she's on the back end and she's got beaten fairly convincingly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about this at the US Open at the end of last year.
Yep.
Osaka.
Where it was a women's rights issue. Yeah.
Well, okay. And so this is the final question was, and the female reporter asked that, she said, it's going to end on kind of a sour note here. She said, but I want to get your opinion. She said on what some people are saying, including Billie Jean King.
Ooh.
Right, so noted former women's
not
player,
daughter of Michael Jackson.
Right, and you know, I think everybody knows Billie Jean's a lesbian and has had to work hard, right, as somebody through the 70s and 80s,
yeah,
to work against that. But yep, the question was, I want to know what you think about some people saying, including Billie Jean King, that if you're going to win that next major to tie Margaret Court, that you need to maybe focus on tennis and not being a celebrity fighting so much for equality.
I'm intrigued by that. What was the answer?
Well, she didn't touch the celebrity aspect, right? Didn't talk about going to royal weddings,
right,
and the like. But she did say, yeah, the day I stop fighting for equality is the day I'm in the grave. So to me, yeah, I think the reporter, if she wanted to...
You maybe want to mulligan on the phrasing?
Or? Yeah, exactly. You say, you know, some people feel like you need to devote more time to tennis.
Yeah.
And less to your sort of celebrity lifestyle. What do you think? And then let her answer.
Right. But
she kind of gave her the out.
Yeah. Well, this isn't that dissimilar to what Quebec media was hitting Eugenie Bouchard with a year or two ago in terms of all of a sudden, you know, you're this beauty queen and you're going on
Pinty's food. Come on.
I don't even know what that's in reference to. But remember, she also had this thing on Twitter where if so-and-so comes back, I'll want to dig
Patriots, so Falcons.
That was it. That was it. And she owned up to it. Took a guy on to a Knicks game, I believe, was her.
I think it was a Nets game.
Oof. Actually, it's probably better.
But yeah, I think they went on a second date, though.
Yeah, I think so, too. But that was sort of the thing was, oh, you're now more focused on being a beauty queen and a celebrity.
Pinty's food?
And why do you keep saying that?
Pinty's is the Pinty's Grand Slam of curling.
Yeah.
They do the frozen
food. She's not a curler.
She was the spokesperson for Pinty's.
Okay. I don't think she's won shit since.
Pinty's.
I have no idea what we're doing.
But I think we're angling for a little sponsorship from Pinty's. No, Eugenie's not doing shit. Come on. No.
I love some Pinty's.
Matt'll get in a two-piece.
Oh yeah.
For a little. That's so will I. What the hell? For sure, man.
Exactly. Yeah, you know what? But if you become, especially as a woman, sort of above your sport, and oh hey, look, you're good looking, you know.
Damn,
how do
you
do both?
For being good looking.
Right. How do you do both? And all of a sudden it's...
Well, I managed to pull it off for years.
Oh, well, that's debatable. Serena continues to dominate and Eugenie Bouchard fell off a fucking cliff. Like, I don't know if the two are related or not, or in terms of how she handled her celebrity versus how Serena did. I've got some serious issues with the way that Serena Williams handles some things, and we've talked about that on previous shows, but she continues to fucking dominate.
Yeah, crush people.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, and as long as that's the case, the fuck do I know,
and if
right?
And if in the way, in the final far fetches of the final quarter of your career, you're still crushing people all the way to a final, guess what?
Yeah.
You are under
good
the bus.
For you.
Yeah,
what
so.
Venus? What happened to Venus?
She was there. She lost in the first round to the youngest.
77th seed.
No, an unseeded qualifier from who's 15.
Oh, no.
Coco something. No, Coco Bobo.
Coco Bobo.
Totally separate person.
Not the same thing.
Separate person altogether.
Yeah, for sure. Not 15.
Anyways, that is the... Yeah, no, for sure it's not. That is the end of my tennis tirade.
I thought that was interesting, man. I honestly think the way this has gone, especially on the men's side, we've seen, as I sort of referenced, we've seen from time to time, for little spurts, someone can jump up and can touch Serena. Someone can jump up and touch LeBron or Tiger. But nothing has been sustained in this long rivalry type thing like these three guys have for as long as I can remember in almost any sport. Man.
Where's my girl, Arantxa Sánchez Vicario? Where's she at?
I think Arantxa's. Yeah.
She was not.
Yeah.
She was not my girl, actually.
I wanted to ask you what you thought about where things are at right now between the Toronto Blue Jays and Marcus Stroman. And he's sort of going into the All-Star break.
Why is his ass not traded yet?
Well, I think that's a reasonable question. Everyone has known for a long time that's what they were going to do, including him. And I loved the idea that his last start in New York, someone said to him, you know, do you feel like this was sort of an audition? He kind of went, I have hundreds of innings in the AL East. I don't view any one game as an audition for what might be getting ready to go down.
I think you know what you're going to get.
Right.
You're going to get 5'7", full of two.
Throwing fire.
Yes. So chains flying.
But he has a 2.89 ERA on the road this year. You know, showing what he could do at Fenway, showing what he could do at Yankee Stadium. And he had sort of battled some injury shit going into the All-Star game, which he was selected for because, you know, everybody needs an All-Star. And coming out of it, he has a quality start, and it's clear he's going to get dealt. Here we sit on, what is it, the 16th of July, 17th of July? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Would you start that guy again? Or here we was, he was healthy. Do you want him or not? Like, to me, I'm sitting that guy down.
Yeah, you got it. Well, to me, you have to trade him.
Yep.
You get too close to the end of the month, there's a couple other big pitching fish out there that may or may not go. If you want to get the sweetest deal for him now, you got to pop that cherry in the next 4 days. I'm not sure I start him again.
I wouldn't start him again. The Jays have been fucked by guys not being healthy when they decide to wait and deal them late, right? And we don't have to look any further back than Josh Donaldson. You just go, yeah, you know what? That guy has, on a bad team, been really good for the first half. I get you might have been injured or worried that he was injured a little bit, came back after the All-Star game and pitched a quality start at Yankee Stadium. That's it. You want him or not? I'm sitting him down. We're not doing this again. I wouldn't start him, man.
Did you read the article on The Athletic that talked about
him and Giles together?
No, they talked about they touched base with sort of, honestly, the list of teams that would be possible suitors for him.
Right.
Right. And so they talked to baseball writers from Oakland to Milwaukee.
Houston.
To Houston, to Philadelphia, to Boston, to New York. Right. And they talked about the pros and cons.
Yeah.
What each team is looking for. Is Stroman a good fit? Is he not? And really, for most teams who are looking to Canada, and especially the Red Sox and the Yankees, and they're talking about just the way he pitches down low in the strike zone, generating generating pile of ground balls as opposed to, you know, balls that take flight in those band boxes.
Yeah,
a lot of teams looking for what he brings. And so some are saying, yeah, but the price is going to be too high, right? For what Toronto's asking.
Yeah. You have to, though.
Like, well, Toronto has to because, they have nothing.
Like, look around at what they've dealt and what they've got for it. They have to be willing to. And I wonder.
Drury and McKinney.
J.A. Happ. That was the deal. And I wonder if you don't have to now sit back and look and go, is this a package deal, Stroman and Giles?
So you were just referencing that.
I wonder how healthy he is.
Well, see, Giles, for the most part, on a poor team with few safeties.
Yeah. How often does that guy get a chance to save a game?
He's been not bad.
No, I agree. So could you turn that into, you know, maybe the Yankees is the most likely opportunity there. And I kind of like Stroman's bullshit there where he's, I don't view anything
for
as
sure.
a fucking audition. I've been here for 3 years pitching in the AL.
And he's a New York guy, too.
Yeah.
And what do you do if you end up in New York with your Toronto skyline tattoo? What happens to that? Can you turn that into a Lady Liberty?
So are you sold that you would trade Stro? Because to me,
and again,
somebody's got a pitch, man, it's getting ugly.
Yeah, but just one guy? And the other thing that makes him quite appealing is he's got one more year of team control.
Yeah.
Right? Which
yep.
it's not just a strict.
In theory, it should fetch you a little extra.
It's not just a strict rental.
Right.
Right? And so.
I don't know if I want to trade him, man.
Yeah, well, you've said that. You've been on record for the last month saying.
I just don't know that you're going to get enough to make it worthwhile, and somebody's got a pitch.
Well, there was somebody pitching. I'm not sure if it was last night. A guy who'd never, honestly, it was his first starting.
Wagnon or what?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
In Fenway.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, kid.
Well, and they won, though.
Yeah. But come on.
See, what more do you need, man? And if you look at, and I get it, and since hockey's been done, and by hockey I mean draft and free agency, right?
Yeah. I stretched it out as long as I could.
For sure, right? Now, if I'm home, I check in on the Jays every night.
Yeah.
Right? I don't. I may not stay.
It's usually bad.
I may look at it and go, fuck, it's 10-2 already for somebody else.
You know what I'm looking at before I know the score? It's the fourth inning and it's already 9:45. Can we get the fuck out of Fenway? Like, this sucks.
Well, okay.
How late?
Every game there goes to be 12:10 or 12:9.
No, for sure.
There, for a team that has Sale,
Price,
and then whatever the Ponce de Leon.
Ponce de Leon.
They have like the 20th ERA. Like, honestly, their pitching is for a team that has, and they brought in, I was looking at Cashner last night, who last time they're going, last time he played the Jays, he had just 30 pitches in his first three innings. Dude had 65 last night and he wasn't even out of the third yet.
Well, Andrew Stoughton.
And they brought him in as the good luck in Fenway, buddy.
Well, Andrew Stoughton of The Athletic, he put out a thing last night that said, you know, going back to, you know, the start of the season, of pitchers who face 350 guys, the only guy worse than Aaron Sanchez is Chris Archer in terms of opponents' ERA. You're like, in 2016, unthinkable with what Chris Archer and Aaron Sanchez are doing. Like, what the fuck's going on, man? Like, it's unreal where the Blue Jays are at, and I just don't know unless
that's a guy who, if they could have unloaded
Sanchez?
Yeah.
A year ago?
Oh, man. They just oh, dear.
Get that guy back in the pen and just hope. Just hope he turns into a 7th or 8th inning guy. Like, his fingernail is
blistered. Let him go back to being a setup guy like he was.
It's been terrible. But, yeah, back to, like, 2016 when we're having these meetings in terms of going to a 6-man rotation to keep him in it. And, oh, man, I can't believe how fast that's turned around. But to me, I just think, unless someone's giving you like a top 3 prospect in their system, because as you point out, for Stroman, he's got a year and a half left on his deal.
Yeah, yeah. And you're a win-now team that's going for him.
And I need it to pitch. I need that to be a pitching prospect, right? And that's it. Otherwise, I'm keeping him because I thought you have nothing.
Yeah.
Trent Thornton. And
that guy. Oh, no.
What the fuck? What are we doing?
Yeah. Well, and if you watch it, and it's interesting. I've loved the look of Kevin Biggio.
Yeah.
Right?
When Bo looks just about ready to do his thing.
And some people are saying.
Bo knows, man.
Well, and again, the bloom is a bit off the rose in terms of Vladdy.
Yeah.
When people.
It's so fucked up.
When people. Well, for sure it is. And he's still going to kill it, right?
Yeah, for sure. But, I'm not pitching to that guy.
Well, and if you watch, like last night was a great example. Sogard was up
Tuesday. Yes. Yeah. No, you're right. Tuesday night,
and Sogard fights off 12 pitches or whatever, and then, you know, loops a single, and you're like, "Fuck, that's some That is some A1 hitting, right? Vladdy comes up next. Just fucking flailing at the first pitch. And you're like, what are you doing, man?
They're just not going to pitch to that guy.
Well, I mean, he hits right into a double play. Yeah. And you're like, fuck. And that, to me, that's a guy who's supposed to have a great eye, right?
Yeah.
And so clearly he's out of his element.
I agree with that, yeah.
Did you watch any of the Home Run Derby?
Kept an eye on it on Twitter. I was still out of the country and, you know.
So all that back, there was a bunch of backlash, right, in terms of why is this guy?
Yeah.
Why is this guy in the home run hitting contest?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I sort of agreed with that. If you weren't good enough to make the game, then you don't belong.
Well, but I think the MLB's got to be looking at that, going, we want to see.
I don't hate it.
Right, and you're going, this is the spectacle because before
we talked about this after the NHL All Star game. Why isn't Shea Weber there hammering shit at the or Chara
right
in the hardest shot? I don't care that you're not an all-star right now.
Yeah.
Dim the lights. The Undertaker's gong goes off, and who comes to Dano Chara?
I want to hear Steve Austin breaking
right,
glass. That's
exactly,
what I want to hear.
Fastest skater and shit, right? So, you know, all that stuff. I don't hate it.
Okay, and all I'm saying is, and they did a great job in Cleveland, right? They brought out the eight guys, and they're like the one, and they're showing the matchups. And I can't remember the last time I've watched any of the MLB All-Star, probably when the Jays were, when Cito Gaston was managing the American
Mike
League
Messina.
Team. Yeah, and leaving Messina in the bullpen.
I love Cito forever for that.
Right, but and Messina's still getting up.
He's
still getting up and warming on his own.
Fuck you, Cito.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of like him too.
Well, for sure. I watched the whole Home Run Derby, and I honestly, I can't, like I said, it's been 25 years.
Yeah. I used to watch it all the time, man.
And it was compelling TV. And
both guys hitting 29 home runs in the second round or whatever it was. Like,
yeah. Well, and honestly, and when they say he's a big boy, is that just a nice way of saying he's a fat
he's a
ass?
Big as someone who's been called a big boy a time.
Hey, big boy. Anyways, but you watch, and part of it is the blonde sort of dreads.
Yes.
He's mashing the ball, right? Like other guys, and they're like, look at this. You know,
yeah,
it's an easy swing, right? Not Vladdy. Vladdy
no,
looks
he's
like
just
honestly,
killing it, man.
He's taken down an ox. That's what it looks like he's doing with an axe.
That's how he came up.
Yeah, this is it. And you watch him, and they're talking about exit velocity and everything. He's crushing the ball, and you could tell how that second round that went into not just extras, and then the three pitch tiebreaker, but then another three pitch tiebreaker.
Yeah,
you could just tell that.
I'm spent.
I'm spent. He was gassed. 29 and then 40 home runs, right? And then still hit 22 in the final.
Yeah.
But you could just tell that he was
He
was laboring a bit. But how you can hit 91 home runs in three rounds, which is almost.
It's when you hit them, right? It's when you hit them.
And you still don't win the competition?
No.
But again, the Cleveland crowd, this is another American League. They're chanting Vladdy, Vladdy. They're loving it, man.
Yeah.
They're just fucking the spectacle of the whole thing was like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I watched it in its entirety.
Right.
It was compelling TV.
TV. I wanted to ask you before we wrap this show up, big Sens trade the other day, Zach Smith.
Longest serving Ottawa Senator.
People are pissed. I'm surprised, man. People are pissed. I guess he's a good guy in the community. Everybody loves him.
I'm not pissed.
Okay. Zach Smith traded from the Sens to the Blackhawks for Artem Anisimov. We won't spend a ton of time here. Essentially, it's third line center with some penalty kill upside for third line center with penalty kill upside. I don't know, man. We talked about Zach Smith back at the time that it happened. In the 15-16 season, he scores 25 goals in 81 games. In 212 games since then, he's scored 30 goals.
25 in that season and 30 in the three seasons since combined.
Yeah. The Sens are doing the thing we thought they'd do in terms of salary being lower than the cap hit, but they seem to have forgotten the part where you're supposed to get a prospect or a pick
sweetener.
With
there's got to be a sweetener.
It's weird, man. Do you have any sort of thoughts on the deal?
And again, this is not. It's It's lower.
It's so July hockey.
It's three. Yeah, it's 3.25 for two more years for Zach Smith.
Right.
To 4.5 for Anisimov for the next 2 years. The difference is
the actual cash payout.
2 days before the trade, the Blackhawks had to pay, right. had to pay the $2 million bonus.
Yeah.
Hello, Zaitsev.
Yep. Yeah. It's a very Sens move.
And
right
so,
now.
So this is yeah. When they talk about pro scouting going out and saying, yeah, this is you know, these are the guys we need, blah, blah, blah. And it's really, who can we find that had a bonus paid yesterday? Like, really. And you know what? It's
like, Anisimov's fine.
Yeah, see, he is an upgrade on what Smith brought.
Okay.
Period.
Yeah.
The reality is,
did he not just become Ottawa's number one center? Isn't that the problem?
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay. The only issue here is they're saying he can kill. He could be on your second power play as an. Well, he's a 4-time 20-goal scorer, 15 last year.
Yep.
The flip side is he's got nobody like Patrick Kane or to play with. Hello, Bobby Ryan. Yeah. Shows up after playing with Getzlaff and Perry and go, hey, where?
My fingers.
Who's helping me here? Nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So to me, he's going to bring a little more offensive ability than Smith brought.
Yeah.
But
I agree with that.
At the end of the day, it's like swapping out your blue couch for a red couch and you're like, what, does that look
my
better?
My couch still looks like shit.
Yeah, well, it's still lumpy. It doesn't fit. Like, to me, this is just, you're flipping out a guy who got waived through the league last year.
Yes.
And now you're going to have a guy who can play a little. Now it's listening to, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was saying the scouting report on him is, yeah, he can kill some penalties.
On Anisimov?
Yep.
Yeah.
And a little bit, he's a good net front presence on the power play. Bottom half of the league in terms of speed, not a great draw, man.
Dope.
And you're like,
hey, my bottom six, I wish you could win a draw.
Well, okay, and this at the end of the day, or you're like, skate. All right, if DJ Smith is coming in here saying we're going to play with pace and in your face,
yeah,
you can't fucking be in the bottom half of the league in terms of pace. Like, I don't get it.
No.
Like, Zach Smith had lost a little edge.
Sure.
But
well, what was his? Because it was not just this past year where I texted you on, like, day one of training camp. Like, by the way, Zach Smith, Achilles or ACL, or was that last year? I think that was this year. Did he not miss most of this season?
That was Pajot.
Oh, fuck. You're right. It was Pajot.
See, it was Zach Smith who got waived.
Yes.
On the eve of training camp last year, and that Matt Duchene quote saying, it's a kick in the balls for us.
That's just good.
Yeah. But so, anyways, you've got a guy who nobody wanted, who got waived through the league. And now you've got a guy who is.
When I look at those two, Artem Anisimov is the better player.
For sure. This is it.
So,
and this is a bit of a Russian renaissance here in Ottawa. It's been a decade at least since we've had a Russian player.
Filatov.
Yeah. And so Philly don't do rebounds. Like, Philly don't go to the net. Forget about it. Perimeter player.
And Philly don't get in the shootout in games in Ottawa.
Yeah,
either.
This is exactly right. 09 World Juniors.
Exactly.
But you now have Zaitsev coming to town. Yeah. You've traded for Anisimov, and then in the Duchene trade, Abramov came over from Columbus. You're looking at, honestly, this is the Russian spring. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, this
honestly. But the reality is, I don't know. That's all it is. To me, it's a slight upgrade. But again, you're taking on, you needed to take on more. Chicago press was saying, yeah, they were pretty sure that they would have to sweeten the deal for anybody to take that 4.5. Not Ottawa.
But that's the whole point, isn't it? Like, Ottawa's trying to take on big cap hits, but with less money left to pay. But to do it, you're supposed to get a sweetener.
Yeah.
And they're just not doing it.
Yeah.
Like, this is the Toronto deal, the Chicago deal. Like, where's the sweetener? Like, you're supposed to, you forgot something.
No.
But this is the thing that I emailed you about weeks ago, and it hasn't been anywhere near as pronounced as I suggested it might be, but that is Ottawa so far under the floor that they might have to sweeten the deal for other teams to get enough cap hit, right? Yeah. And that hasn't happened either.
No, and they're well over now after bringing over Toronto's the guys that Toronto couldn't sign. Yeah,
and trash.
And after Melnyk saying, yeah, but somebody forgot that told him that the Toronto's defense sucks.
We'll
and
take 2/3
and
of that.
You go,
and
yep,
their defensive coach.
You two penalty killers and the defensive coach. We'll take those guys. Yeah, fuck Eugene.
Nailed
smart.
It, buddy.
Smart.
Nailed it.
Yeah, to me, when you talk about pro scouts, and to me, I have no serious issue. I have a wait and see on Ottawa's minor, you know, right. on their amateur draft.
Yeah.
Their fucking pro scouting is trash. And so to me, they're just looking for people who, have a lower actual salary than their AAV.
Yeah.
So
found it.
Yeah. Good for you guys. Keep looking. Keep looking.
If I'm honest, I don't hate that deal for Ottawa.
I know it is what it is. Yeah. And it's neither one of them are going to make or break any team.
No.
Right. So whatever.
But I'll take an Ismov over Smith. If we're
right on, man. Fucking, it's a high five.
Yeah. Why don't we get the hell out of here? That's Tall Can Sports for another week.
Welcome back.
Thanks, man. Oh, you meant them.
Same to you too, Matt. Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah. We'll see you all on Sunday on the next episode of Tall Can Sports. See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sunk this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.